This is a recording of the Manuel Perez conference with Arshat on April 25th, 2017 at 9 o'clock a.m. Central Time. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for your patience in holding. We now have your presenters in conference. Please be aware that each of your lines is in a listen-only mode. At the conclusion of this morning's remarks, we'll open the floor for questions. At that time, instructions will be given as to the procedure to follow if you would like to ask an audio question. It is now my pleasure to introduce our first presenter, Mr. Enrique Barrera Flores.
Good morning. Thank you all for joining us and for your continued interest in Gentera. I'm Enrique Barrera, the company's Investor Relations Officer. I'm very pleased to introduce our management team. With us today is Mr. Carlos Danés, Gentera's Chairman of the Board, Mr. Fernando Álvarez, Compartamos Chief Executive Officer, and Mr. Patricio Díez de Bonilla, Gentera's Chief Financial Officer. They will review the results for Gentera for the first quarter period as per the report that was issued yesterday. If you did not receive a copy of the release or if you have any questions, please do not hesitate to contact our Investor Relations Department in Mexico City. If you are a member of the media, we ask you to contact us directly. Please note that during this presentation, Gentera may make forward-looking statements. These do not account for future economic circumstances, industry conditions, company performance, or financial results. Additional information on forward-looking statements can be found in the disclaimer located in our earnings release. I would now like to turn the call over to Mr. Carlos Danés for his presentation. Carlos, please go ahead.
Thank you, Enrique, and good morning to everyone. First quarter of 2017 marks a special time in Gentera's history. It was this month, 10 years ago, that Compartamos Banco made its debut as a public company in the Mexican Stock Exchange. Back then, we were a little-known company in Mexico striving to eradicate financial exclusion by bringing opportunity to our clients in the base of the pyramid. Our aspiration back then was to attract mainstream investors in the capital markets to look at our clients as an opportunity and not as a problem to be solved. It was our goal that by doing so, we would not only use commercial principles to bring about social innovation, but to also contribute to creating an industry, to help bring about a more inclusive financial sector in Mexico and the world, one in which no person was excluded based solely on the amount of income they had. Now, 10 years have gone by, and we won't lie if we tell you that we are proud of the change we brought to the financial sector. Today, the financial sector in Mexico and many other developing markets competes to innovate into better ways of providing financial services to their clients. Whereas 10 years ago, the clients served by Compartamos had a few choices of where to shop for their financial services, today, the same clients have many, many choices to do so. Today, banking for the underserved is a growing industry, one which continues to push the boundaries of lower barriers to entry and better service. We are proud to be part of that story. And in these last 10 years, our own story has been, as we had expected it to be, a story of growth. Back in April of 2007, Compartamos was a single product, single country company serving 630,000 clients. Today, we are a multi-product, multi-country group of companies servicing more than 3.7 million clients. Our staff has grown from 3,400 people to over 20,000, and our portfolio, which back then was around 3.1 billion pesos, is now 32.4 billion pesos. We are proud and grateful that we have achieved this in the past 10 years. And we know well we would have not achieved it without the power, the commitment, and the discipline of the capital markets. We still believe that the market and the private sector play a central, fundamental role in bringing solutions to social challenges. There is still much to be done, but so far, we're proud of what we have achieved together. Thank you. Now, moving on to the first quarter results. The portfolio for this quarter stood at 32.4 billion pesos. That's a 14% year-to-year increase, which is in line with our guided expectations. Most notably, the portfolio saw significant growth in Peru, with a 38% year-on-year growth, mostly driven by a 39% growth in the number of clients served. Well, it was only in 2010 that we started efforts outside of Mexico. Our non-Mexican portfolio is now 25% of the whole. This not only consolidates us as a multi-country company, but it also contributes to the goal of creating social value throughout the Americas by offering inclusion to as many people as possible in the shortest amount of time. Also, as expected, in a more competed and better served market, NPLs have trended to a normalized range above 4% as a whole. In the first quarter of 2017, NPLs stood at 4.69%, slightly above the 4.22% of the fourth quarter of 2016, and in line with our goals of stabilizing for the foreseeable future. We still believe asset quality to be a cornerstone of our business, and we feel confident the long-term guided ranges of 4-6% are adequate to be priced in our product and to continue to serve an increasing number of unbanked clients in the region. For the first quarter of 2017, our efficiency ratio tended down back to its average of mid-60s, driven mostly by our cost control measures, but also absent of the one-time cost expenses disclosed in the fourth quarter of 2016. This allowed Gentera to post a net income growth of 13.3% compared to the net income of the first quarter of 2016 and a return on assets of 24.9% for the quarter. Our non-Compartamos subsidiaries continued their growth in the quarter. Most notably, Yastas, which recorded 1.75 million financial transactions during the quarter, and which, along with our traditional Compartamos branches, are now the preferred channels in which our clients transact. This allows us to rely less on third parties, but it also strengthens our ability to keep massifying our savings products throughout Mexico. Intermex transactions in the quarter represented more than 6 billion pesos in remittances through the network. And regardless of speculation about remittance flows into Mexico, it continues to consolidate its place in the marketplace. Also, Aterna ended the quarter with 5.2 million active life insurance policy in the three countries and is on schedule to start offering more complete damage and health insurance to our clients. Finally, let me mention the decisions made during the annual shareholders meeting held on Tuesday, April 20th. Shareholders approved a dividend payment of 77 cents per outstanding share to be paid in two different dates. The first payment, equivalent to 39 cents, will be paid no later than July 2nd, 2017, and the remaining payment will be made before or on December 1st, 2017. Shareholders also approved to reestablish the buyback program at 700 million pesos and approved the cancellation of 4,886,860 shares that were previously purchased through this program. As a consequence, today Gentera has roughly 1.6 billion shares outstanding. Prior to turning this call over to Fernando, I want to mention that Gentera came in first place in the Great Place to Work rankings. This was the second year in a row that Gentera was awarded the first place, and Gentera has been nominated and ranked in this list for more than 10 years. And this is also the fifth time it has been awarded number one. This is not only something we feel proud of, but also a renewed commitment to create human value, as well as social and economic value. We thank our staff, and it is them, with their shared purpose and passion of eradicating financial exclusion, that we work every day. I will now turn the call over to Fernando Alvarez, who will review in detail the performance of our financial services operations.
Thank you. Thank you, Carlos. And thanks to our audience for your interest in Gentera. I would like to take you through some of the main business indicators of Compartamos during the first quarter of 2017. Loan portfolio for Compartamos operations, considering the three countries in which we have presence, Mexico, Peru, and Guatemala, reached 32.4 billion pesos, which represented a 14% growth compared to the first quarter of 2016, with Banco Compartamos in Mexico growing annually at 7.8%, Compartamos Financiera in Peru at 37.5%, and a growth of 42.0% for Compartamos Guatemala. Mexico's share of the total loan portfolio stood at 75%, coming from 79% 1 year ago. It is encouraging to see how geographic diversification process accelerates. Now I'll talk about growth experience per product methodology. Group loans for the three operations grew 12.7% in the past 12 months, from an equivalent in each local currency of 17.6 billion pesos to 19.8 billion pesos. This growth was distributed as follows: an 8.6% growth in Mexico, 114.6% growth in Peru, and 42.1% in Guatemala. NPLs in these three group loans operations posted ratios of 4.66% for Mexico, 1.17% for Peru, and 4.46% for Guatemala. We continue to see quality improvement in group loans in Mexico and Guatemala, being reflected in better levels of late payments as well as better provisions to average loans than previous quarters. These trends also encourage us to continue to grow as planned. Now, respecting individual loans, the total portfolio for Compartamos in Mexico and Peru reached an equivalent in each local currency of 12.5 billion pesos, which represented a 16.2% growth compared to 10.8 billion pesos in the first quarter of 2016. If broken down by country, we have 6.1 billion pesos, that is 5.4% growth in Mexico, and 6.4 billion pesos, which equals a 28.9% growth in Peru. In terms of NPLs, we see 6.5% and 3.7% ratios, respectively, in Mexico and Peru, which are levels of NPLs within the ranges guided. Net interest margin after provisions for the quarter in each subsidiary stood as follows: 48.1% for Mexico, 21.6% for Peru, and 72.8% for Guatemala. The operations performance in general was positive. Asset quality and recent vintages, as previously explained, are improving, and as a consequence, provisions to average loans are improving gradually as better vintages are being originated while non-performing loans are being wrote off, resulting in positive impact to our margins. In other important metrics, at the end of this quarter, we reached over 740,000 active debit accounts. Savings and short-term deposits coming from clients in aggregate now have an outstanding balance of 855 million pesos, which is more than eight times the amount we had at the end of the first quarter of 2016. The deposit solution is available now in 375 service offices, and it is covered by a network of 145 proprietary branches and close to 2,700 just as points. Our account holders have also the option of downloading our mobile banking app for free. That has the most important type of transactions already available for them, such as account balance and transactional history queries, electronic transfers to Compartamos and to other banks, electronic loan repayments and service payments as well. The challenge that we are facing now is client adoption, but we expect significant benefit out of this development in terms of client satisfaction, customer intelligence, as well as cost efficiency. In addition, our proprietary branch and Justas networks combined not only makes possible our savings operations, but also provides a very important service to credit operation, that is cash disbursements and cash collection of loan repayments. And with this, reducing the dependency on networks of third parties. In the first quarter of 2017, our combined proprietary network executed more than 55% of all credit disbursements in Mexico and 39% of all loan repayments, where Justas continues to be the main alternative chosen by our clients to repay. As a consequence, the advance in this development has produced a significant decrease in our fee expense for transacting in third-party branches, from 92 million pesos in the first quarter of 2016 to 72 million in the first quarter of 2017, or a 21.7% decrease. We expect this trend to continue while we finish the rollout of our branch network that will total 282 branches for the end of this year. In terms of insurance, voluntary life insurance in Compartamos Mexico received 123 million pesos as fee income for the first quarter of 2017. That is 68% higher than 73 million pesos in the first quarter of 2016. We expect to keep on growing in insurance at a high pace in our three operations. Now, in regards to remittances, in the first quarter of this year, Intermex Compartamos executed more than 1 million remittances and processed more than 6 billion pesos in remittances payments. This operation brought 46 million pesos in fee income for the first quarter of 2017, or 15% more compared to 1 year ago. We are also working on introducing this product in Guatemala and Peru in the near future. Again, thank you for your interest in Gentera, and let me now turn the call over to Patricio Diaz, who will review the group financial figures.
Thank you, and good morning, everyone. Interest income grew by 11.1% when compared with the same period of 2016, slightly below the growth in the average portfolio during the quarter due to the seasonally lower growth in portfolio. Portfolio yield stood at 65.5% in the quarter. In Mexico, interest rates moved from 3.25% in January 2016 to 6.50% in March 2017. This represented a 100% hike in the interest rates at which we fund the business. On top of that, our liabilities grew an additional 8.6% in the last 12 months. However, despite such relevant increases, both in cost and the size of the interest-bearing liabilities, interest expense grew by 58.9% in the year. We were able to mitigate part of the increases by refinancing debt as well as taking part of our liabilities at fixed rates. Net interest income grew by 8.4% in the year, and NIM remained healthy at 51.1% in the quarter. Provision grew by 32.4% in this period compared with the first quarter of 2016. Not only the mix of the portfolio has changed, but we faced in the fourth quarter of 2016 some deterioration of the asset quality of Crédito Comerciante that put pressure in our provisioning. As a result, net interest margin after provision for the quarter stood at 41.7%, a contraction versus last year's NIM. To reflect the new cost of money in the market, we started with a repricing effort since fourth quarter of 2016. This effort is underway, but will take 4 months to fully reprice most of our portfolio and another 4 months to see the full impact in the results. We expect to expand the NIM after provision by more than 300 basis points by fourth quarter 2017. Net commissions and fee increased 52% compared with the first quarter of 2016. This line item grew much faster than portfolio due to the sale of insurance products, the use of JazzTax correspondent network, fees generated by the remittance business, fees generated in Peru, as well as fees charged to clients with delinquent accounts. The fee expense decreased an outstanding 37% due to the greater use of our own infrastructure rather than third parties. Fee income represented 6.5% of the interest income for the group in the first quarter of 2017. Operating expenses grew by 8% in the year, a much smaller growth than portfolio, which reflects our commitment to have always a more efficient operation. Employees in Gentera only grew by 0.8% in the year, which also reflects the efforts we have made for a better use of technology in hands of our loan officers and improvements in the methodology. Efficiency ratio for the quarter was 66%, which is in line with the mid-60s range we guided for the year. The result, Gentera reported net income of 1 2017 million, an increase of 13.3% compared with the first quarter of 2016. And finally, with regard to return on equity and return on assets, these ratios stood at 24.9% and 9% respectively for the first quarter, which again are well in line with the figures that we have been guiding in the past. The numbers reported are encouraging and consistent with our strategy and certainly a strong first step to meet the full year guidance. Thank you all once again for these first 10 years of trust in our company. Could we now move to the Q&A session of the call, please?
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, at this time, the floor is open for your questions. If you would like to ask a question, you may do so now by pressing star 1 on your touchtone phone. We'll take questions in the order we receive them. If at any time your question is answered or you need to remove yourself from the questioning queue, press star 2. Again, to ask a question, please press star 1 now. Our first question comes from Ernesto Gabilondo with Bank of America Merrill Lynch.
Hi, good morning, and thanks for taking my call. Three questions from my side. The first one is regarding the asset quality. We saw NPLs reaching maximum levels and a lower reserve coverage ratio, but on the other hand, we saw an improvement in the cost of risk. So what can we expect for these ratios through the rest of the year? Should we expect NPLs normalizing and the cost of risk trending up? It is in line to the guidance you mentioned in the previous conference call. My second question is related to expenses. I think it was quite low during the quarter. And if you're planning to open new branches and to implement loyalty campaigns, what can we expect for the growth for this line? And how much would be related to branches and to the loyalty campaigns? And finally, it is in terms of competition. I just want to know which are the main players you perceive in the field, and if you can share with us what are you seeing from Santander Mexico. Thank you.
Thank you, Ernesto. This is Fernando. Regarding asset quality, as we discussed 1 minute ago, we are, if you look at our portfolio and let's say recent late payments, we are seeing better numbers every month. Now we are seeing the quality of our origination to improve gradually month by month. Also, if you look at vintages, the recent vintages are showing a significant better performance than those that we originated on the second and third quarter of last year. And the result of this better origination is that basically you are seeing a better provisioning than what we were provisioning on the last part of last year. So even though cost of risk is growing, if you compare that to the average portfolio, it's coming down gradually. Better origination, it doesn't shows already on NPLs, because NPLs are portfolio at risk of more than 90 days. But it will eventually show. If you take a look at our numbers, you can see that this NPLs ratio are stabilizing. No? So what we expect further on is for this NPL ratio to be at more stable behavior, even with a probable slight improvement. But definitely our provisions to average loans, we expect them to be at better rates than the second half of last year.
And I remember in the last conference that you guided the cost of risk of 12.5%, 13%. Are you maintaining the same guidance, or we can expect an improvement on that line?
For now we see that those are the levels that we're expecting for this year.
Okay.
And on the expense side, Ernesto, what we've been talking about is the expenses should grow below the income line to maintain the efficiencies and to support the sustainability of the model going forward. On the branch investments, as we discussed in the past, this year we'll open another 135 branches. The reality is that we are not increasing the footprint of Banco Compartamos. We are converting actual service offices into deposit-taking branches. So the investments are not so large. And as we mentioned in the past, the reality is that most of that investment will be covered by the savings we are getting from not paying fees to third parties. So all in, it's not something that on a cost pressure basis should be worried on. In terms of the loyalty program, as we've been discussing since the fourth quarter and these first 4 months of the year, since we are in a controlling phase of the portfolio, we're more focused on asset quality than growth, we are not expanding heavily on the loyalty program, right? So for the second part of the year, the investments will be made. We expect around 500 million pesos to be deployed in loyalty expenses. But again, all those things are under the full year plan. And as I said before, we aim that the expenses should be still well controlled and below the growth in income for the group.
In these 500 million pesos in loyalty expenses, are those including the ones of the first quarter, or is just plus the first quarter?
It's additional.
Additional, okay, thank you.
And finally, Ernesto, regarding competition, that was your third question. These improvements or these increases on cost of funds and on more competed market, our competitors are also facing those challenges. And most of them are not in the same shape as Compartamos to tackle these challenges. So basically right now we are not seeing a huge impact or aggressive movements from competition for now in Mexico, and we expect that to happen for the rest of this year, but we are having and paying close attention to what's going on in the market. And regarding what you mentioned about Santander, we know that Santander, they have this global program of financial inclusion that they want to implement in several countries, and in the market we are not seeing them for now. There's nothing going on for now with Santander, and we need to see if this strategy is going after volume and going after market share and profitability, or if it's a financial inclusion strategy with an objective of more corporate responsibility strategy. So that's already something that we need to find out, but for now in the market we are not seeing anything going on with them.
Thank you, Fernando and Patricio. Much appreciated.
You're welcome.
Thank you, Renato.
Our next question comes from Carlos Machado with Goldman Sachs.
Thanks. Good morning, gentlemen. Thanks for taking questions. Two questions. First, a question on Peru. I mean, growth has been impressive, right? Grupo Mujer product clients are up 70% more than 70% for the fourth straight quarter. Almost 300,000 clients in that product now. What's the end game here? What do you expect Peru to represent? How relevant could it be to your overall business? As you said, 25% of the loans now are outside of Mexico. What can we expect out of Peru, which is the biggest part of that? Second question. Loan growth within Mexico now, under 8% for the quarter. What trigger? I mean, I know that you're in the control mode now, basically, you know, waiting for NPLs to come down. What would trigger you to become a little bit more aggressive and start the expansion mode more firmly? Thanks.
Thanks, Carlos. Regarding Peru, yes, as you have been pointing out, we have seen great growth in that market. Group loans in Peru are now already a very strong product. We have more clients in group loans than individual loans. And as you probably remember, the company that we acquired there was only providing individual loans. So we are very optimistic about what's going on in Peru. Right now, in the short term, we need to pay close attention to what happened with the El Niño Costero phenomenon, and the impact of that phenomenon is not yet shown on our numbers because the stronger rains came at the end of March and all April. So the impact of that is still something that we need to see. We expect that to be a moderate impact. We are not expecting significant impact, but it's our first natural contingency in Peru, so we need to see that. But in the long term, we definitely expect group loans to keep on growing at high rates. Of course, it's going to be probably difficult to sustain the current growth rates that you are seeing. That it's easier to post those growth rates because the base is very small. But while we gain volume in group loans, it's going to be difficult to sustain this kind of rates. But definitely, we want to continue to grow our portfolio at a high rate. We want to also grow our efficiency because Peru right now we're investing money to open operations in more parts of Peru. So right now profitability of these portfolios are not the focus. So what you need to expect for the medium to long term is improvements on efficiency and what share of the portfolio is Peru going to be for Gentera. It's difficult to say right now, but we think that right now we're handling 400,000 clients, and definitely we see space to grow for more than 500,000 clients for the next 2 to 3 years. So I think you should expect current trends to, in absolute terms, not in percentage terms, but in absolute terms, you should expect these trends to continue. About growth, your second question was about what should we see that makes us grow faster, no? I think that if we start to see provisioning going better than what we expected, provisions to average loans, if we start to see that number better than this 12.5-13% that we have guided, that would be a sign for us to accelerate growth. So for now, what we are planning is to stick to the plan to deliver the growth that we guided in a couple of months, and that's what more or less we are expecting.
Okay, thank you.
Our next question comes from Frederick DeMaries with UBS.
Good morning, everyone. Good morning, Carlos, Fernando, Patricio, and team. Thank you for the call. I just have a follow-up on the margins. So we understand that the liabilities reprice faster, and that's why you had a bit of pressure on the margin over the past few months. My question is about the pace of recovery on the margin side. And as a side question, I wanted to know if you feel that you can reprice the assets, and you mentioned the theme of competition, that your competitors are suffering more than you because of their funding, but do you feel you can or do you want to reprice the assets, and what kind of margins should we be working with for this year? Thank you.
Thank you, Fred. Yes, as we mentioned last call, we started later last year to reprice some products. The repricing due to the short-term duration of our portfolio takes approximately 4 months to be fully reprice the portfolio,
and another 4 months to capture the benefits of these repricing efforts. So there's a time lag in which you see pressures. The time lag, it's evident this quarter, will be present also next quarter. But by the year end, we see an expansion of margins of above 300 basis points for the year. So basically what we are doing is simply the rates, the cost of funds in Mexico moved from 3% to 6%. So we are actually repricing the products in that level. We haven't seen any deterioration of demand because of this. As you know, the products that we offer in the market are still the lowest costs for this segment. So we still have a pricing benefit or competitive advantage than competition. So we are currently on their, that way, and you'll see this benefit mostly in the third and fourth quarter of this year. You mentioned about competition. Yes, as Fernando said, competition, the increase in their cost of funds, it's moving faster than ours. Not only that, the access to funds, it's also limited. No, the banks and some other institutions are more strict or rigid in financing this segment. So, and this is why we see an opportunity also for this 2017 to capture customers from competitors, because we know that they are facing some operational difficulties. In that 300 basis points over the margins, that should be achievable by year end.
Thank you, Patricio. And so you're saying 300 basis points, that's for the repricing of the assets. When you think of the margins for the full year of 2017, how should that compare with 2016?
Yes, I mean, it will go directly to the final margin. The NIM after provision, it's what I'm talking about.
Okay, so you're saying the NIM after provision in 2017 is 3 percentage points above 2016. Is that what
correct?
You're
saying? Uh-huh.
Okay, thank you. Thanks, Patricio.
Thank you, Fred.
Our next question comes from Herman Velasco with BBVA.
Hello, hi, good morning, and thanks for the call. Just two questions for my part. The first one is regarding the breakdown of the company by country. If we take a look at Banco Compartamos, we can see that the bank is having some hard times during this quarter, also during the last two quarters. So my question is regarding if you expect this bank to change its trends within the next two or three quarters? That would be my first question. And my second question is regarding the note from S&P, who changed its outlook from stable to negative for Banco Compartamos. What is your opinion about this change of outlook? Thanks, that is my question.
Thank you very much. It's in terms of growth, there's also an stationary reason out of the growth that we are seeing in the first quarter, so we should consider that, but nevertheless we are at a phase of quality focus, so we were sacrificing a little bit growth as a trade-off of focusing on asset quality. But since we are seeing now better levels of quality origination now, you should see on the next quarter that growth will come back, and definitely we expect to meet our guidance in terms of growth. So definitely that's what we expect for now.
And in terms of the S&P rating, we have always been very respectful of the comments about our company from analysts, not only rating agencies, sell-side analysts, and whomever talks about us. The reality is that it's for us, first of all, they reaffirm the AAA rating for Banco Compartamos. That's in this environment a very strong message from the rating agency that Banco Compartamos is a very solid, profitable institution. Not only that, the international ratings were also reaffirmed at triple B, which is an investment grade rating. So we are encouraged by this review of S&P. And the negative outlook, of course, they analyzed year-end figures, the trends, as you mentioned, in terms of asset quality, worried the rating agency, more so in a year in which the Mexican economy will decelerate. So their view for the following months, it's to have this negative watch. Of course, with the strategies that we are following and with the results that we expect for this year, we really think that we will be in a good position to talk back again with them and see whether this rating or this outlook is still valid for the coming months.
Okay, Patricio, thanks very much.
Our next question comes from Tito Labarta with the Deutsche Bank.
Hi, good morning, everyone. Thanks for the call. A couple of questions. First, just a follow-up on the margin. Just want to make sure I understood correctly, because you said about 300 basis point increase by year-end, but you had quite a bit of margin contraction this quarter. So if you improve about 300 basis points from this quarter, you're back at the levels you were last year. So I guess for the full year, it should be kind of stable compared to 2016. And also, I guess, depending on when you started the repricing, should the bottom in margin have been this quarter, or maybe there could still be a little bit more pressure in the second quarter and you start to really see the benefits in the second half of the year of the repricing? And then my second question on fee income, you know, seeing some good trends there. Service charges are coming down as you have to pay less third-party charges, and the fee income, you know, had good year-over-year growth. So what kind of growth should we continue to expect on your net fee income, which has been very strong the last couple of years? Should that trend continue? If you could give some more color on that, would be helpful. Thank you.
Okay, in terms of margin, Tito, I was talking about when we will analyze the fourth quarter 2017 figures vis-a-vis the fourth quarter 2016, what you will see is a 300 basis points increase in the spread of the active rate. The active rate it's coming upwards in that sense. Of course, the pressures that we saw already in cost of funds and provisioning will not be so relevant as they were in 2016 because of the stabilization of the NPL that we expect for the following months. All those things together, also, finally, in the fourth quarter of 2016, we had a very large cash position, which increased the size of the assets and also put pressure in the NIM. So all those things together allow us to think that the margins will for the fourth quarter in comparison with the fourth quarter of 2016 will increase in that sense, right? For the full year, as you said, yeah, it should be stable, and I mean we don't expect further contraction. And in terms of
regarding the second question, in terms of fee income, there are several things very relevant going on in that part of the income statement. In the income fee income part, insurance, we saw this quarter that our income coming from insurance grew 68%. So as you can see, these trends are higher than our growth in portfolio, and we expect this higher growth in this kind of fees than compared to our interest income. So you should expect this behavior in fee income. And regarding fee expense, as you also pointed out, we are reducing significantly our expense going to third parties because of our proprietary networks. And we also expect this trend to continue. We have only opened 145 branches out of 284. Just as are improving its performance every month. So definitely this decrease in net fees we expect to continue to be important. So the behavior of this net line item, we expect it to be higher or better than the behavior of our NIMs.
Thanks. It's very helpful and clear. So just one quick follow-up on the margins. That was very clear, fourth quarter over fourth quarter. But when do you think the bottom is? Is it this quarter, or could there be a little bit more pressure still second quarter as the repricing goes through, and then the repricing happens in the third quarter? I just want to get a sense of when
the bottom is this quarter, right? For next quarter, we already have part of the portfolio already repriced, so we'll start seeing in the second quarter part of the benefit of the new pricing scheme for the portfolio. So the worst piece of the NIM is already behind us. Also, on top of that, we had a large cash also in the first 2 months of the year, which increased the active piece of the portfolio. But again, the reality is that the second quarter should be with a better number than the first quarter in terms of NIM.
Thanks, it's very clear. And then just one quick follow-up then on the fees as well. Just looking at the trends, you know, I have net fees grew over 50% last year. Based on the level this quarter, could grow more than 30% this year. Does that make sense? Is that kind of a level of growth that we can expect?
Yeah, I think that above 30% is reasonable.
Okay, perfect. Thank you very much.
Our next question comes from Marcelo Teles with Credit Suisse.
Hi, good morning, everyone. Thanks for your time. I have two questions. The first one is more of a top-down question. What is your expectation for remittances growth this year, and how do you think that ties into your client base, you know, in terms of you know, their payment capacity and credit demand? And the second question is still on the margin side and trying to reconcile that with your guidance. You know, you're talking about, you know, improving NIM post provisions by about 300 basis points, right, from here to year end, which will probably, as you mentioned in a later, you know, I think from a later reply to a later answer, stable provisions post provision. So it looks like that, you know, maybe your guidance could be somewhat conservative, you know, if you were to you know, try to bake that in, even if we account for higher, you know, operating expenses down the road. Does that make any sense? Or, I mean, can we, any call on that would be great. Thank you.
Thank you, Marcelo. I'll address the remittances part of the question. Well, there's two ways of seeing remittances for Gentera, no? First is remittances as a flow of income for the segment, a very important flow of income for the segment that we are addressing. No, remittances are very important inflow of income for this for several a big number of families in Mexico, and we expect that. I mean, we have seen that number to increase this first quarter. We have to see what's the development for the rest of the year, but we definitely are not expecting that inflow to decrease compared to last year. No, so that's going to be a positive element playing on the payment capacity of our clients. No? So that's one way of seeing remittances for Gentera. The second one is how our business in remittances can grow. No? As you can see in our numbers, we have been growing on double digits between 11 and 15% for almost every quarter since we acquired even 20%, we have been able to see some quarters since we acquired Intermex. We are expecting to at least sustain this rate of growth in terms of number of remittances and also volume of remittances that we process. But we are also expecting to increase this rate of growth while we are able to penetrate better our Compartamos client base. We think that there's a significant share of our existing client base that are already making or receiving remittances through other companies, and we definitely think that we have the brand, the branch network with Just Us. We have a very convenient solution. We have a very also competitive pricing on this solution, so we are comfortable to think that we are going to be able to address these clients, and that will bring additional growth than the one that we are seeing right now.
And in terms of your second question, Marcelo, as you know, for over 10 years, guidance has been something that we think it's doable, always challenging to reach the metrics that we put in front of investors. As you pointed out, this was a good quarter in terms of profitability. We expect that to continue in the following quarters. However, we realize or we know today that there are headwinds away, right? We are controlling asset quality, but also in an economy that is decelerating, we need to be aware of what's going on in the market, what's going on with competition. And in terms of expenses, as I mentioned before, we expect to be more aggressive on the marketing efforts to be by the second half of the year more focused on growth than in controlling asset quality. All those things together make us think that, again, the guidance that we put in front of you in December is challenging, and we have three quarters still of the game in front of us. So if there's something that we need to communicate or can be changed in the following conference calls, we will let you know. But as of today, we feel comfortable with both in growth and EPS, and we are working to meet those metrics.
Perfect. That was very helpful. Thank you.
Our next question comes from Claudia Benaviente with Santander.
Hi, good morning. I have a couple of questions. The first one is, the number of group lending clients in Mexico has relatively slowed down. Could this be read as a more competed market, or is it relatively already well penetrated? What should we expect in this segment in Mexico looking forward?
Thank you, Claudia. Yes, number of clients and also loan growth in the first quarter is always a quarter that we that where demand is not as strong as other quarters, no? So that's basically what we think is the most important reason why our growth is not as strong, because of stationality issues. Nevertheless, we have been working in this segment with this particular product for several years, and now the levels of penetrations are sure that are higher than a few years ago. So it's more difficult to grow or sustain double-digit growth in terms of number of clients because of a larger penetration of these segments. That's why we are not only focusing on bringing more clients with Crédito Mujer, but also with Crédito Comerciante, but also what we are focusing on is on serving better these clients while offering more loans. So that's why we have these Crédito Crece y Mejora solutions that are additional loans that we offer to the best clients on each one of these products. So what you should expect in the future is that we are going to be focusing on trying to grow as strong as possible, focusing on quality, and with also some focus on increasing the average ticket that we provide to each one of these clients with the Crédito Crece y Mejora.
Okay, thanks. And I was wondering, like a follow-up question on fee expense, if you end the branch network expansion this year, then we should expect fee expense to get closer to zero by 2017 or be read maybe as zero by 2018. How much of this, like, 400 million of fee expense in 2017 can be read as an expense to be invested in the managing of the branch network that you will be already finished?
Thank you, Claudia. Yes, we are investing energy and resources in ending this rollout of branches and also in keep the improvement of the performance of Yastas for the rest of this year. So we expect to gradually be taking more and more Compartamos credit transactions to our own branches. So this number, this trend should continue. Nevertheless, we don't expect to go to zero. No, we are our banks will continue to have the option to transact in third parties. That's a convenience for them. We want them to have the best solution that we're able to give them, and branches of third parties are sometimes the best solution that they can pick. So they are continue to have that option. So therefore, we don't expect that number to go to zero. We definitely expect that to keep growing down. Something that investors and analysts should consider is that once that we have a convenient proprietary network offer, we could and we are evaluating to charge fees on transactions and could improve the trends in this net fee income and expense line.
Great, thanks. And I have a last question. It's about loan growth in Peru. Should we expect in the second quarter to accelerate, considering that maybe you can start giving emergency credits?
Thank you, Claudia. No, emergency credit is a product that we offer in a very prudent way. I mean, we only pick cases where this we are sure that this credit is going to help this client to get back up in shape and start the business to put their business back on track, right? So we are not expecting a volume out of emergency loan. But also the contingency on Peru, as for now, we are not expecting a huge impact in terms of asset quality. So for now, our plans on Peru is to keep on growing at the rates that you are seeing so far.
Okay, thank you.
You're welcome.
Ladies and gentlemen, with no further questions in the queue, we are concluding the Q&A session. I would now like to turn the conference back to Mr. Carlos Danell for closing comments.
Thank you very much, operator, and thank you, everyone, for your interest today in our first quarter 2017 conference call. We look forward to speaking with you throughout the rest of the year, and have a good day. Thank you.
Ladies and gentlemen, that concludes today's presentation. You may disconnect your phone lines, and thank you for joining us this morning.
Thank you.